You're listening to DraftKings Network.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vanderkoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
This is the Dan Le Batar Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Stugatz, you haven't gotten into Succession yet, huh, on HBO. It's been a long time since I've seen a television show that's this artful, this well done, this capable of confusing you about is this a drama or is this a comedy, because the acting and the writing and the cinematography is so good, and it's about something that seems to lure people all of the time, which is riches, wealth, opulence that's absurd. But what it's really about at its core is family dynamics. And rare is the show that you love like this, although I think HBO probably invented the genre of making you love artful shows where you can't root for any of the characters. You're amused by how awful all of them are and how greed corrupts and how awful this family is and their family dynamics. And there's not anybody I'm rooting for, but the show overall has all of these unlikable characters while also achieving the thing of being a likable show.
With these Sopranos, weren't you kind of rooting for Tony, though? Like, wasn't there an element of you're rooting for that
guy? This was, I don't know, I'm not speaking as some sort of historian about this, but I think that that began the culture of the anti-hero in television. It's one of the reasons it's viewed as such a seminal television show and one of the best ever, is because they made you root for a guy who was evil, an evil criminal. They humanized him so much. They humanized the mafioso so much that they made you root for a guy who was inherently bad. And then The Shield came after that, and Breaking Bad, and a whole bunch of, and now it populates a whole ton of television where you graduate to Dexter and everything else.
Yeah, it seems like he had to pick the best of the worst in this situation. And I think I may have picked Kendall, even though he has, you know, he has his past with his issues with drugs. And he killed somebody, I believe, right?
Whoa, yeah, I think he probably did that in the wrong order.
Really, you summed up the whole show
you judged him harshly for his addictions, and then somebody died on his watch. Spoiler alert.
But you chose him.
You chose somebody.
The degree of manslaughter.
You chose the only one we know to have not a murder, but a death on the resume.
Well, yeah, I was rooting for Bryan Cranston in Breaking Bad. I'm rooting for Kendall right here.
I'm with Roy. Kendall's terrible, but something about, I think the show puts you in his point of view, so you see things his way, and I think it does it on purpose. I don't like him. Like the last episode where he's supposed to go on that show with Z-Way, and then he doesn't go. That's not a spoiler. Like, he's terrible. If this person existed in real life, I would be someone sending a tweet bashing them that he'd be reading in his limo and that everyone would be chanting at.
Shiv is very clearly the most capable. Also, because of gender dynamics and family dynamics, seems to not have things given to her based on merit. Also, I love Tom. So,
well, I think
I want
Greg
good things to happen to those awful
Greg,
people.
Greg
I think
and Tom
Greg
are
the
one
Egg
of-
is like really the true hero, right? Because he's like the one you can most see yourself getting, like, he's getting swept up in all of this. He's kind of trying to do the right thing, but he doesn't know what he's doing. Like, I feel like that's where we'd all be in this world.
Greg and Tom are one of the greatest comedy duos of all time. Shiv is, she's Australian, correct? I don't believe that she is talking in her actual accent, but that the acting on that show, I don't know who the best actor on that show is. I was assuming that I found myself, and maybe I was manipulated by the viewpoint of Kendall I didn't notice that they were doing that, showing the show through his eyes.
Sarah Snook.
I just thought he was the best actor.
Sarah Snook, actress that plays Shiv, is indeed Australian.
The acting on that show is extraordinary. And one of the things they do that I have not seen done on television before is when they use the camera work and these acting skills to very much turn these adults into people who look like they're 8 years old, 9 years old, 10 years old, that they become children in front of your eyes and you see them shrink in the presence of their father, who I'm assuming is Rupert Murdoch based. It really is.
That's a fair assumption.
It is a
Isn't
really...
he the best actor, though? Isn't he like the actor with the best resume?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, certainly the actor with the longest and best and most celebrated.
Compiler.
The cinematography makes you actually feel like you're in a room, which is why it's so great. Like, I feel like I'm a fly on the wall in that situation.
I agree. It's like the little things too. Like the last episode, they had like two helicopters and two private jets on a runway, and there's just a wide angle shot of it, and it's a barren landscape. There's like really nothing to see, but it's just like, oh, that's like $1 million worth of stuff right there that they just have at their disposal. And like, it kind of just speaks for itself.
What season are they on? Because I did watch half of season one and I didn't get through it. So they're on the third season already? Wow. And you like it that much, Dan? Because this is the first TV series you've talked about in a while, I feel like.
It's one of the best shows I've ever seen. I just started rewatching The Sopranos because this actually inspired me to do it because it's such incredibly artful television. The scene that Jessica is talking about there, it's not just that the opulence is grotesque. They could have met anywhere. They needed to do a whole bunch of tricks and jumping through hoops with helicopters to go somewhere. The rich people throwing away money in the name of ego and power is something to behold. And they just, the show has a lot of different layers. I did not know how they were going to be able. Now, you guys know that we work with Adam McKay here, and he's one of the executive producers on the show. He doesn't make things that are bad, but he hasn't even had to do that. That show arrives on his desk and he's watching it the way the rest of us are watching it.
Really?
Yeah. Like he's done.
He has no idea.
He is just watching and watching it as a fan. And like, he takes notes and stuff. It's not that he doesn't have an idea, but he's watching it the same way we are, marveling at how well done it is. It's not, you know, he's helping with the making of it, but it's brought to him.
How's the rewatch going? Like, that's interesting. You're rewatching a series? How are you finding time to rewatch a series?
Totally holds up. Wow. Totally. The Sopranos doesn't have a lot of holes.
Did you rewatch Breaking Bad?
I have not watched Breaking Bad again.
Hmm.
Are you rewatching and applying different theories to your rewatch to see which is the most plausible theory?
On The Sopranos?
No, on Succession.
I'm not rewatching Succession.
I know you're rewatching The Sopranos. I've been considering that too. But you haven't occasionally rewatched Succession? Because there's like certain scenes. For example, Shiv and Tom had a scene that is at the center of a lot of conspiracy theories as to who's working with the feds, because the feds raided the offices. Someone has to be working with them. Logic would say maybe Kendall, but there is zero evidence from the show so far that he's actually had a conversation, even with his lawyer.
Do you know if I'm spoiler? Am I spoiler? Is it a spoiler crime for me to wonder aloud? I should probably say spoiler alert right now.
No. Just say
you won't get a 10-game suspension.
Yeah.
Maybe one.
Whisper it to Stugatz first, and then he'll tell you how bad of a crime it is.
Well, he hasn't watched the show.
Well, he gave up after half a season. Which
I didn't give up. I just don't have time to watch all this. Life. Yeah,
no, it's all right.
Too much stuff going on right now. Yeah, golf, football. I mean, I just started rewatching the 86 Super Bowl. I mean, Phil Simms, I didn't realize just how good he was. He was 22 or 25, won Super Bowl MVP, and he was even better than I thought. I mean, it's amazing.
Wow. Yeah. You're even box score stew with the 86 Super Bowl.
I don't have it up right now.
I thought you would question his legacy because they won one with Hostetler.
Nah, that was 91 with Haas. Nothing Simms could do. I think they were 10-1 that season. Simms got hurt. Haas came in, took him for a ride. Won himself a Super Bowl, but that wasn't Simms' fault. That game against the Bills, Whitney Houston sang the national anthem.
Goosebumps.
She absolutely crushed it. Yeah, and Simms went 22 or 25, and I'm thinking to myself, hey, there's no way you can play better than that. But you know what? Phil Simms played even better than 22 or 25. There were two drops. Should have been 24 of 25.
Thank you. Thank you for your succession theory.
You got it.
Did you get the year right? Because
I think the Whitney Houston one was a Hostetler one.
Well, I'm not sure.
Because it was a Gulf War one.
Yeah, you're probably right. Yeah.
The original was so much better than the
season. So I started 91, right? I started the 91 Super Bowl. Rewatch.
Not what I was asking you,
Neil Diamond did the national anthem.
Ah, that's right.
It's amazing. He has one of the best Christmas albums ever.
Forgive me. Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Does Neil Diamond have one of the best?
Never heard
he
Neil
does.
Diamond?
He does.
I don't know if I have.
I mean, it's a little. It's an ironic listen to hear, you know, Neil Diamond sing about the baby Jesus.
Put it on the poll. Does Neil Diamond have one of the best?
Little boy Jesus laid down his sweet head. Come on now.
Does he do little drummer boy?
Pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. Love Neil. Love you, Neil.
I feel like that was Alan Thicke doing a little.
Pa-rum-pa-pum-pum.
That is.
That's Alan Thicke.
I guess it wasn't Alan Thicke. I got it wrong.
What I'm at. Pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. Pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. No, that was
Zaslow.
Hey, that's a little drummer boy.
I gotta hear it.
What's that little drummer boy again? He comes in the picture. He's like, pa-rum, pa-pum, pum. Awesome drummer. That little drummer is your boy.
The question I was asking you, when I associate 1986 with football, it's not the Super Bowl Giants. It's, I think, of the Bears.
The Bears were the 85 Bears, but they played the Super Bowl in 1986. Very common confusion. Do we call the Super Bowl by the name of the season or the year it was played in? Is this the 2021 Super Bowl or the 2022 Super Bowl?
21 Super Bowl. And there is absolutely no reason to rewatch that Bills, the Bears-Patriots Super Bowl. That was Tony Eason. That was the fringe. Getting a touchdown. I don't think Peyton got one. Did he get one at the end? I forget.
They gave it to the fridge.
They gave it to the fridge. No reason to watch that game, though.
Here's the thing about the little drummer boy. In all depictions, he's olive skin, at the very least. But the baby Jesus is white. That's wild. Huh. I had no real ending.
He didn't have Pablo singing. He just had, really, the Pablo impersonation is just.
Bum, 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 bum. Nina.
How'd you like Neil's version of Silent Nights?
Holy night. It's a great
He's
Christmas
got such
album.
A great voice, Neil Diamond. Yeah, he really does.
Yeah, it's a shame he's not touring anymore. I love you, Neil. If you're listening. I love you.
Billy, as we head into the holidays, I am not afraid to say this. It's not something that you might associate with me. But Stugatz, I'm going to announce it controversially and publicly. I love Christmas music.
Really?
Love Christmas music.
Wow.
I don't love Christmas music on November 1st.
What's your favorite song? Like, what's your go-to song?
Well, Little Drummer Boy is one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. I like that James Brown does a funky Christmas.
Dominic the Donkey.
That is the best Christmas album.
Can we get your top five Christmas songs,
wow,
Dan?
Oh, this would be big. Yeah. I was not aware that you are a fan of holiday songs.
Well, this is why I knew I was getting out there with a controversial take, but I wanted to ask Billy how he felt, because all he's given us is Dominic the Donkey.
Oh, Mi Burrito Sabanero on Power 96, yes! The DJ Laz version. Get out of here.
Yes!
That's Christmas.
Yeah, can you help me understand, or can you help me the audience? Burrito
Boom. No, but you have to do the stop, Tony. Tony.
Tony, por favor.
You need to stop.
Tony.
You have to... Mi burrito sabe, boom. Mi burrito sabe, boom. Mi burrito sabe, boom. Mi burrito sabe, voy camino de Belén.
So good.
Mi burrito sabe, voy camino de Belén. Come on, Stugatz.
That would be
Christmas.
Seaman Head.
That's a different Christmas song.
He's trying to sing along. I mean,
Voy camino de Belén. Come on.
Why is Neil Diamond singing now about
Belén?
Did he sing about Belén? Did you just have him singing about Belén High School?
Bethlehem.
Not Bethlehem.
In Spanish, I believe it is.
Billy, how else, if you were putting together a top five list, because that would absolutely be in my top five.
Yeah, I think you will find that.
Yeah, it is.
You went to a Catholic school. Mm-hmm. Belén is Bethlehem.
Yeah.
$5.
That's a good point.
The more you know. Just taught you something.
Why is that fine?
Now you'll always remember the day that a fake Neil Diamond taught you that Belén is Bethlehem.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Don Levitard.
I mean, they used to call me Chris Karaoke.
Stugatz.
Karaoke.
That back row is bringing it today.
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugatz.
The name of the song that you were singing with Tony, the title of the song?
Mi Burrito Sabanero.
El Burrito Sabanero.
No, Mi Burrito.
Mi Burrito Sabanero.
It's your burrito, Dan, and my burrito. It's really our burrito. Yeah. Vosotros Burrito Sabanero.
I've never used vosotros in a sentence.
Neither have I. Never. Yeah, I mean, it really is.
But I can just use it in place of nosotros? What's a rule?
It's a good question.
Vosotros, I think, is everybody else except me.
Everybody but you.
Right. Everybody
vosotros.
But me?
Right. And then I think nosotros is everybody with me.
Let's see here.
The nosotros thing is kind of complicated, isn't it?
So vosotros, no. So if I'm asking
you're right.
Are you with me,
right.
Vosotros está conmigo.
Vosotros is you all, and according to Google Translate.
Right.
When I get to that Babel lesson, I'll let you guys know.
Mm.
It's essentially you all.
Are you taking Spanish lessons?
Vosotros.
Really?
Nostros.
That was very poorly done, Roy. I'm always alarmed by how...
No one in Miami uses vosotros.
I mean,
I have never used vosotros in my life. Not at any point in my 52 years have I ever, for any reason, put a V in front of nosotros for vosotros, whatever the formal usage of that
vosotros,
is.
Vosotros, I guess, is formal ustedes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, the only time I've ever used it, I learned vosotros in Spanish class, even though I'd heard Spanish
Wait,
my entire life.
No, ustedes is more formal. So vosotros would be like a casual two.
Like you guys.
No,
like
vosotros is y'all. Yeah.
Billy, you don't...
Nosotros was we when I was back in school.
No, it was not.
Yes, it was.
But every definition...
That's how Robert Acevedo taught it to me.
It cannot be we, because you cannot be included in vosotros.
Yeah.
Right. All right.
Roy and Stugatz.
Do you guys say tú or usted when you talk to people? I always go usted.
Two.
No, you always go formal?
Yeah, I do. More respectful than two.
To everyone of every age?
Yes.
Usted, even if you're talking to like a kid who's 12?
Yeah.
So you go That's formal. Weird.
I mean, I don't run into lots of 12-year-olds that I just start having conversations with in Spanish. But
I understand. But if you happen to be at a party and happen to have a conversation with a 12-year-old.
Well, it's usually like they'll say, like, have a good day in Spanish. I'll say, usted también.
Hola, niños joven.
Yeah.
Billy, are you willing to do top five Christmas lists against my top five
There's
Christmas lists?
There's so many
lists.
Songs is the problem, Dan. It's a very difficult list to make. Should we do top 20 each?
Well, how do you want to do it? Do you want to do just songs? I think that's what makes it a good top five list, that it's tough to get down to. Or do you want to get artist and song?
No. Tony has a really good idea. We should do almost like an advent calendar of our top Christmas songs, where every day we reveal a Christmas song.
Yes.
How many days are there till Christmas that we work?
A lot.
There are,
Not a lot.
Honestly, less than you think.
Yeah, I would say we're probably within 25 work days to Christmas.
Wow.
How many shopping days?
You want to reveal? You think people want to sit around? You want to do this throughout the holidays, where we build the official show list of the top five Christmas songs of all time? But I think we'd have to include artists at that point, because I need to put in Clarence Carter's Backdoor Santa just for being dirty.
Absolutely.
Like
you are right.
But that's not something
that your song for today?
Well, this is the thing. I need you to explain to me the way this list is going to work, because is it going to be artist and song? Or is it just going to be Little Drummer Boy and Silent Night?
I'd like to hear your version of it.
You
can
do specific versions. Yeah, that's fine. Like, if you really like a version of Rocking Around the Christmas Tree, but you like two versions, that could be on your list twice.
I believe there are 30 work days until we...
Okay, I just counted. Are we counting Fridays? Because for us, that's a half day, so it's not a full work day.
I was counting Fridays.
How about Christmas
Eve?
But
there's vacation in between.
Well, I didn't include Thanksgiving.
Okay, please, let's get out of the show calendar. That's fine. I don't know why you insist
on... Well, we're trying to make rules,
Dan.
We're trying to
figure out rules. Top 30, top 25.
But we do, Dan. We're producers. We have to count things ahead of time and then count backwards, and then we have to plan things around the calendar.
Exactly. You
know, backwards counting is so much more fun than forwards counting, right? But it has a finite end. Unless you go into the negative.
A countdown is much more gratifying than a count up. I'm with you on that, yeah.
Put on the poll, Guillermo. Is a countdown much more gratifying than a count up?
Not to drag this thing into the mud, but you know what I never understood? The cheerleader count that starts at five, that goes five, six, seven, eight, and then you start. Yeah. What happened to one through four?
That's how you count music, though. Like,
really?
Yeah.
I never considered cheerleaders musicians until today.
Well, they go on a beat. Like, that's why they five, six, seven, eight. Like gymnasts and like cheerleaders.
But what's wrong with 1, 2, 3, 4? Where what's going on with that?
If I were to put Christmas Eve Can Kill You by the Everly Brothers in my top five, would it be too dark?
Never heard of that.
It's your list.
The 1, 2, 3, 4 is to get you ready for the 5, 6, 7, 8. It's giving you, I'm telling you, my daughter is a cheerleader. She's a dancer. The 1, 2, 3, 4, it's almost silent to get you ready for the 5, 6, 7, 8.
Silent night.
Yeah.
I'm always confused when people start with 5, 6, 7, 8. I'm like, we just skipped a sequence.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Same page.
So they do the 1, 2, 3, 4, which means be ready by 4 for the 5, 6, 7, 8. And then at 8, it's go time.
You need 4 seconds to get ready for 5? I mean, I guess you do.
Just telling you what I learned.
But 5, 6, 7, 8 goes a lot quicker than 1, 2, 3, 4.
They're counting in 8 time.
Yes,
five,
tempo.
5, 6, 7, 8.
How about
it's
when people go a 1? A 2, a 1, 2, 3, 4, because then we're by 6.
Right.
Number 5, Run DMC's Christmas in Hollis.
Wow, that's only 5?
Number 5 is going to be like December 17th, Dan. What are we doing here?
Well, now we know number 5. Put it down on the list, because I'm trying to figure out how to do this. This should probably be a production meeting that's not on air. We should probably figure out how many days we're working not on air. But if you want to do this until December 25th, now we have number 5, and I will prepare the rest of my list.
It'll be
my
list. 1 a week.
When we did favorite color, purple was number 2, and we did it for months. We could just put that at number 5 and go resume at number 30. We will get back to that. We will create this Christmas list so that everyone can enjoy it. But I want to talk about what Scottie Pippen is doing, well, Stugatz.
Does Billy have a number five? Or, I mean, just Dan on an island? What are we doing here?
We're moving on to Scottie Pippen.
Grandma got run over by a reindeer.
There you go. I knew he had one in there, Dan. Yeah. That's why I asked him. Sorry.
Always have one in the Christmas canon. You know what I mean?
So how many do you have here?
As many days as there are till Christmas, coincidentally.
What a coincidence.
Billy, you should do yours.
One in the cannon.
You should do yours 3, 5, 4, 2, 1.
Oh, no, not this.
He could do it his own way. Thank you for encouraging
him,
Jessica.
The out-of-sequence list is my least favorite.
This is what he needs to do. He needs more encouragement to be an agent of chaos, Jessica. That's good. He needs more. He's not. Yesterday, he executed an NFL referee. Today, he claims he doesn't remember.
That was somebody else.
It was your idea. Yeah.
It's on tape, yeah.
You can't just say it wasn't you.
Literally the first sentence of the local hour yesterday.
It's just what's happening in America right now. Just say anything and then say the other thing on the other side and it's all gibberish. And just I think that one of the great problems facing America right now is the ability or the inability to discern substance from bullshit. And you just cloud the water so much like Billy does. Kill him! I didn't say that.
It was a joke.
You know where you end up? January 6th. Insurrection! Kill the vice president! No, it was just a rally.
How did we get from Christmas Carol to this?
You did this!
Yes.
You did this to me!
I believe Grandma got run over by a reindeer was the on-ramp.
Yes. How many work days until January 6th?
I believe 32.
What do you want to do? You want to celebrate the anniversary of the insurrection, the attack on democracy?
I'm just trying to do a Billy impression here.
It is also, as Tony points out, Reyes Magos.
All right, you know what, Billy? Go ahead and plan that for us for our show. You're in charge of the January 6th anniversary. Whatever we're doing that day.
Reyes Magos.
What's the anniversary of you guys leaving?
You
want
to be an agent of chaos here? Let's go.
Is there going to be cake?
January 5th is the anniversary of us boarding our pirate ship. Well, no,
I thought it was the 6th.
No, the 4th was a Monday because we randomly did that. Man, that was a
We did a Monday show, right?
We finished on a Monday.
Yeah, we finished on a Monday.
So it was Monday. Yeah, it was Monday, January 3rd. Where that's, no?
The 4th was the last year.
You're looking at a 2022
right?
calendar.
Yeah, let me go back to 2021. Yeah. I'll back
I
right
like
now.
That we're doing the Christmas thing while we have our 2 week late pumpkin carving contest winner right in front of us, also. It's a good blending of holidays right now.
Congratulations. In terms of days for January Christmas, 5th. Are we doing the Wednesday before Thanksgiving or?
What? Yeah.
Okay. I'll count. No, wait.
No.
No. We're off.
No, we're off that Wednesday.
Yeah. Oh, can I get prepared?
No, wait. I don't know. Get
TBD.
I'm off.
Yeah. You're off.
I mean, I thought we were taking off.
Yeah. We'll figure
the Wednesday before Thanksgiving.
No one ever really likes working that Wednesday. We'll figure something out.
Number 4, Clarence Carter.
What are you doing?
Backdoor Santa.
Excellent choice.
What?
Just for the record, it was January 5th, our first independent show, because we really wanted to do one final show for ESPN.
Correct.
And then change out our entire infrastructure in 12 hours, as opposed to using all the holiday weeks to do it.
So the 4th was the final show.
In retrospect, a stroke of brilliance.
Mm-hmm.
We had to get that George Michael song in there.
It was just because you had to spend those 12 days working on a long stat of the day.
It was the most insane thing that we've ever done.
Speaking of 12... My number 4 is the 12 Days of Christmas.
Ooh.
That's right. Get ready to rehear that on December 20th.
Great.
Unless we just do it all now.
No, we can't do it all now. Did you ever do like one of those advent calendars that you open and has like a little prize inside? You know what I'm talking about? Sometimes they have that like with chocolate
those are the
or something.
Best.
Do you
yes.
cheat at that? Like you go and you just take it out? Why? Santa's
because
watching?
Then I won't have anything to like wake up to the next morning. Mm. It helps you get out of bed when the mornings, you know, start a little later. The evenings start a little earlier. It's dark. It's cold. You have a chocolate to look forward to.
Mike, you were talking about the difficulties in creating the infrastructure in a day as we head toward celebrating a year. The insurrection, Billy, you're in charge of that. The anniversary of the insurrection, January 6th, let's frame it as a show celebration of 1 year of freedom. We celebrate our freedom, American freedom. We celebrate freedom of all sorts on the 1 year anniversary.
This just in, the NFL believes Tony Corrento taunting call was correct, that he did nothing wrong with the hip. Billy wanted to execute him yesterday.
Did he say Corrento?
He did say Corrento for some reason.
I told you guys, he followed the letter of the, he's followed the spirit of the rule, really. Cassius Marsh turned towards the Steelers bench. He was on the Steelers earlier in the season. He probably wanted to do a little taunting because, look, now I'm on the Bears. I had a big play.
He was always going to have coverage by the letter of the law because it's entirely subjective.
It's a terrible rule. I think it's a horrible rule. I think it will probably not be as strictly adhered to next season because everyone hates it so much. But I don't think it's execution worthy on the part of the referee.
Well, you say this. Hold on.
What about the hip check?
Well, the hip check happened after he already was going to throw the flag. So we're talking about two separate issues.
No, but it seemed as though he was trying to boost his argument for it by hip checking him.
I didn't see it that way. I don't know.
Where do you stand on the hip check? Do you even believe there was a hip check?
Jessica, there was a hip check.
Jessica, I need to... It was out of key and peele. You cannot do what that dude did. I'm not the Law and Order show.
Well, he can, apparently.
Nothing's wrong.
The NFL said that he got a stern talking to about the hip check.
Wow. Yeah.
He did?
Well, they're saying he did nothing wrong. They're saying the call was correct and he did nothing wrong with the hip.
They address the hip check specifically?
Yes. They believe he did nothing wrong with his hip check.
Well, he was walking backwards. Maybe he didn't see him there.
So mad. No, he saw him. He sucked the hip out.
It was a cartoon sketch. What I love most about...
Pro ref Jess.
I don't want to be in this spot, but someone has to do it. Because you guys are all so far on Tony Corrente deserves to be fired.
He was corrupt.
He should get relegated. Suspended. Should never ref again. And someone's got to be the
relegated
voice
to
of
chain
the
gang.
NFL referees.
And I mean an actual chain gang at a prison.
Jess, I need everyone involved in this as we morph, as we celebrate a year of freedom by becoming the Law and Order show. I need...
Boom, 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 boom. So I have the gavel. Oh
boom, boom.
I have the gavel.
We are off the rails today, friends.
I have the gavel. Is the gavel fine to use?
I don't know, man. You think you have to ask
the permission? You got to get
who? Yes,
Judge Judy.
No, you got to get Productions. You got to get sounds. People own this. This is part of the difficulty.
Someone owns the gavel sounds.
All of the sounds.
We play like even the fanfare or something. That's our gavel.
Yeah, that's not.
That's terrible.
We're the Law and Order show now, and I want to talk about this this clown Corrente.
It's not Corrento.
Not Corrento, as Stugatz likes to call it, while fining me thousands of dollars for mispronunciations. But I do want to become the Law and Order show only on one thing, Mike, which is an NFL referee behaving like Key and Peele would in a skit and everyone telling you that's the way it should be and Jessica saying that we shouldn't be the Law and Order show. You cannot have the guy who administrates justice in these huge state games that we love to watch where any call changes the balance of power of whether or not Matt Nagy gets fired or not. And you find yourself in a place where this official did something that was out of Saturday Night Live. You cannot laugh enough about the justice in that league trying to enforce the rules of its old white owners, Stugatz, doing that in that spot that way, and then the owners and everyone else.
They're not all white.
Mike Tomlin has been very pro taunting rule.
Yeah, the owners.
Well, he's not an owner,
white.
But he's a coach. But
are you doing an inventory? We had the son of one in here.
There is
majority.
Fine. The majority of the owners in that sport are white. I'm so used to saying all white owners because it's been that across sports my entire life. Every once in a while, an Artie Moreno sneaks in there.
The unnamed source from the NFL said they did not give credence to Marsh's accusation that referee Tony Corrente bumped into Marsh and stuck his hip out. Why don't you just come out and say you didn't do it? Not giving credence and saying he didn't do it are two different things, I feel like.
They don't want to call Marsh a liar. They don't want to just up and down call him a liar. But I want to just examine the part
also,
of this.
Kim Pegula also co-owns the Buffalo Bills. She's Korean.
Thank you, Mike.
You're welcome. You also say white guys a lot, and there's several female owners.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Although I should say women, because female is more... biological in nature.
I thank you. So it's not all white guys. It is also some white women and Shad Khan.
Just say vosotros moving forward when addressing.
Okay. Vosotros it is. Yeah. Jessica, you're not with the Law and Order show on the idea of you simply can't have a referee behaving like a Key and Peele sketch where he's throwing his flag that high in the sky. Now, I want to endorse this behavior. This is the thing, Jessica. I want all referees to behave like this. I want them to be unsportsmanlike as well. I want them to do preening wonderful calls. I don't want less of that. But I thought your league wants to be taken credibly. They want to believe that this stuff, that the referees are behaving however justice is supposed to behave.
It was ridiculous. It was just over the top. But I do think by the spirit of this very shitty rule, the NFL has, they can cover themselves. They can say, yeah, well, we wanted to overemphasize taunting this season. Cassius, I'm really struggling with
Cassius.
The S.
Cassius.
He walked
Cassius.
Towards the like Steelers Clay. Bench. There's a history there with him being on the Steelers. And so, okay, that's taunting. Like, it's up to, it's his discretion. And I think that my Steelers moving to 6-2 because the Packers had to forfeit their win against the Steelers early season because Aaron Rodgers lied to everyone has something to do with my obvious bias here. But also my Bears got fleeced. So I really am impartial.
Okay, you're just totally emotional about this. You can't be trusted here any more than Mike Ryan can be trusted when his emotion gets involved in analyzing Jokic and Morris.
I walked
Morris.
It back. I said I'm sorry. Now Jokic's turn.
I'm going to get... Breitbart is going to weaponize me by making me too liberal because I have always believed that Cassius Marsh should be allowed, like a 14-year-old with his stepbrother in the bedroom, to roundhouse kick in celebration. I believe that that is something that should not be legislated out of the game.
It was walking towards the bench.
No, no, but what I'm saying
is... It started with a roundhouse kick.
No, but he didn't put his hand on the...
TJ Watt does the kick after every sack, and that never gets called.
It's not a roundhouse, though.
It was an emotional spinning roundhouse.
It was great.
And not only is it great, I want more of it. And all of us have done that. We were 14, not as well as he did it. He got a sack and he did it effortlessly with his leg around his head. Like, man, you're flexible, Cassius Marsh. But not so flexible that you can make your way around all these dumb goddamn rules.
Did you know that the Bears were purchased for $100? I'm looking at owners right now.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, the Hallis family bought them for $100. An old Wellington Mara, old sack of money Wellington Mara, got it for the bargain price of $500.
Return on investment right there.
Dollars.
Man. Those are the guys. Steel. Those are the
I
guys.
I think Dane has more than $500 cash in his wallet right now.
Well, he owes some for fines yesterday. Put it in there.
Do you want to actually do this? Do you want to see who can come closest to guessing the amount of money I actually have in my wallet right now?
Yes,
what's
yes,
the over-under? Yes. You carry a physical wallet, right?
He does.
I carry a physical wallet.
Not one
wallet.
Of these Ridge IG wallets?
Not a money clip?
No, he's got a real old-school wallet.
I'm going to go $275 is my over-under.
Can I see the wallet real quick? Can I see it?
Is that cheating? Is that cheating?
Seeing the wallet?
I would not hand him your wallet.
I said, can I see the wallets?
You know what? I'm not putting it out around you. I'm not putting it anywhere around you.
All right. I'm going to guess $1,500. All hundies.
I don't actually know the answer to this question, but my wallet feels a little bit heavy right now. And I've made, you have to understand, I'm keeping the ATM industry alive because I pay everyone I pay in cash.
Like, so many fees.
I go to my bank, so I don't have fees. And I'm doing this so often that I now have my first private banker.
That's
a private
smart,
banker
Dan.
Who like waives certain special fees. This is rich person's world that I've never known before. For the private banker thing.
No paper trail. How do you play?
It's all paper.
It's all paper trail.
All paper trail. So I don't know how much I have in my wallet, but maybe it'll be a big reveal on how it is that we can turn this into a game.
When you get to your number one Christmas song, you should throw all the money in the air.
Or maybe just tell you guys what I had in my wallet that day 45 days ago. Maybe that, build it up over...
Do you carry change? Are we guessing, like, exact change?
I never do anything with the change other than leave it for the people who...
Yeah. How many years ago did you stop having time for change?
So a round number.
Do you carry singles?
I'm going to say 20 years ago, you decided, I'm never going to carry change.
No, I would say that's a recent development.
Really?
Yes, where maybe the last 2 or 3 years I leave... the change for whoever it is taking the cash.
I've been doing that as well since the pandemic. Like, give me the bills back. I don't want the change.
So yours, out of you, it's out of fear.
Yes.
It's not because you never give money back. You always take more money.
You're right.
Where did people who use cash, where do you put your change if you don't have a car?
Well, this is why I say 2 years ago, I usually put it in when I used to do this, I'd put it in the glove compartment of my car so I would have it whenever I'm putting air in the tires of my car so that I would have some change for
use. Don't get me started on that.
Do you even use credit cards anymore?
I just recently had to try and update all of this because of the number of places who are making it annoying for me to try to do things with cash.
What is happening here? Because my kids, I'm with Dan. I'm still going to the ATM. I'm still getting cash. There is something
nobody's
that makes me feel
that.
Good about holding cash.
Nobody's
yet
doing
my
that.
Kids keep making fun of me for going to the ATM.
It's all on your phone.
Apple Pay.
Yeah. I get a check. I go to the ATM. I deposit that check. My kids are like, do it on your phone.
Checks. You can deposit checks. On your phone. Well, maybe not the checks of those sizes.
I don't trust it, man.
Checks of those sizes because you believe he tries to cash the checks from
golf
tournaments.
The cardboard ones.
The no cash thing is crazy. I was at a place in South Beach the other morning and I got my coffee and then the guy behind me was trying to get a coffee, but he only had cash. So I was like, I'll just get his coffee too because he didn't have a credit card. I was like, that's so unfair for people who can't have,
well, this
don't
is,
have credit cards.
This is, Jessica, this is what's happened to me, and I've told this story before, but what's happened to me is I am now being actively shamed. I feel like I'm an alt-right anti-vaxxer. I'm being actively shamed for the freedom of wanting to pay for things in cash. Like, this is a thing that's happening where restless people behind you are, I'll take care of it. Well, I don't need you to take care of it. I just need to get through this real quick. But all of this has changed very quickly on us so that I was in a store. I was at a Trader Joe's. I'm holding up cash in front of the cashier at 6 p.m., he's staring off into the distance, and then he eventually looks at me and says, oh my God, I'm sorry. I didn't realize I haven't taken cash all day. I'm the weirdo. I'm the pariah for trying to pay for things with cash. And all it is you young people making me feel old. That's all it is. It's actively shaming us because you guys are changing the world so fast that you don't have time for us anymore. A relationship with you is you just want to be scanning our forehead on an app. And there, that's it. And you make us feel so old because look at you back there. None of you carry cash. Roy, you're still an old head. Do you not carry any cash?
I have cash on me right now, yeah.
That a boy.
Billy? Right.
Who has more cash, Roy or Dan?
Billy?
Probably me.
I do not.
Well, we all know Roy considers $60 just pocket
change.
Yeah,
Roy did say $60 is nothing.
Billy, you have cash?
I believe the quote was, I wiped my ass with
$60. I don't believe I said that, and I'm $40 short.
I think you did say that, Roy, actually.
I don't even know like what joy you derive from that. It's got to be pain for the sensitive skin down there. To wipe your ass with a dollar bill.
Yeah, why would you do that, Roy?
Dude, it's just terrible.
I set it on fire, actually. I don't wipe.
I barely use toilet paper anymore. Just straight to the wet wipes.
I use change.
That's what that noise was.
I have coins and I have Mike Marchant's business card.
It gave it to you? It was super sharp. You have to be careful. I was waving around the air. I almost took somebody's eye out.
Listen to this. That's the business card.
A card with weight on it, but not with sharp edges.
Mike, did we get any of the fake Cody? Let's see. Let's go deep into the file here.
How long? We're approaching a year. How long before you use the device of, did we get this sound from ESPN?
You think I should stop?
We've been talking about it back here. Like, I wonder if I don't say anything, will he say this forever? Like, will it be 20 years after we left ESPN? It'd be like,
Mike, did we get the sound?
That sound from the.
It's
from
just, it's an easy transition for me, though. It helps
so
it's me
just
do
like,
it.
Hey, can you play that sound?
Well, but I don't know if you have actually the fake Cody. I'm trying to give you the cue so that you can.
No, I know
so
what you're
much
doing,
of what we
I'm
do here is
too.
Not verbal. So much of it is me just. Getting the hatred of the audience because I'm trying to build the bridges so that the eye contact can result in the producers getting what I need.
They criticize everything, these kids. I mean, I'm telling you, cash. I mean.
So, like, we did get all the fake Cody sound from ESPN. Here's a problem with
No, wait a minute. Before you say anything, this is the thing that I was allowing you to do with the filibuster of did we get this sound? This is what I'm trying to do as we get into the layers of the show is for you to go and find wherever the fake Cody is, which I imagine is not an easy find, and then have to listen to some of it to see if it holds up and if we can play it without getting into trouble because we might have been doing things 16 years ago that we're not doing now. I don't know what your filing system is on the fake Cody sound.
So I find it a recently a frustrating experience because I do try to listen to songs, but then you just start talking to someone else in my studio and they turn on their mic, which then turns off my cue speaker. I'm working on a technical workaround for this where I can listen to something and have the mics on. But yeah, a twerk around, if you could, if you will. But I can't listen to audio while someone else is talking. So you and Sugat's got to carry this one.
Okay. We will filibuster here with our old man talk, talking about cash, as I tell the story from Moss, Miami, Sugat's, because yeah. Billy decided to derail us with a sharp business card of Mike Marchand.
We were going
through our wallets.
Oh, sorry.
I have the same business card in my pocket. I don't know how it got there, but it is sharp. Like, it keeps poking me in the upper thigh area.
And now, my sandwich with it.
Mm-hmm. And now for the audience that gets very mad at how it is, we're taking you deep inside the show here.
Deep inside my pockets.
How often I have to explain the joke. Here is the joke. And this is the truth. Greg Cody of the Miami Herald on ESPN Radio many years ago became the singing sports writer. Like with many things Cody, he eventually quit and just stopped doing it, even though it was working well for him. He was very sensitive when Mike Marchant, a young man, would produce songs as the fake Cody to rival the singing sports writer. And many of his songs ended up being better, more popular, applauded by the audience in a way that made Greg Cody insane. At Moss Miami for the first time, Greg Cody hated the fake Cody. Had never met him, though. And Mike Marchant worked in our studios. He was always around, but Cody didn't know it was him.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Marchant was in the shadows as the fake Cody, while Cody was talking about how much he hated the fake Cody.
Cody was the same then as he is now.
Yeah, exactly the same.
Oblivious.
No difference at all. But they met for the first time on Saturday night. And Greg Cody took like the picture you take as a presidential candidate, but he was seething. He does not like the fake Cody, does not like the fake Cody's work, does not like how the fake Cody mocked Greg Cody when he was getting adulation all over the land as the singing sports writer.
I am surprised and saddened to hear that. I thought Greg would let it go. Like, at some point you arrive at an age where you just stop caring about stuff like that. All right, there's a fake me. He's a little bit better. Who cares? Let it go. You know?
Well, what age is Greg Cody going to stop being sensitive about that stuff? Because he's a good deal older than the rest of us, and I'm going to go ahead and say he's formed. I don't think a whole lot of changes are coming on Cody where he's going to stop being sensitive about shit that the rest of us are like, what are you so sensitive about? Did he cheat at the pumpkin contest yesterday, Jessica? Because he was very eager to win that.
Well, he just wouldn't accept the election results last night. It was clear that I was winning by 10 points. All the votes on the Instagram page and on Twitter were in my favor. On his Twitter account, by the way, he tweeted out a poll to his fans. So he obviously would have an advantage there. But my pumpkin was just better. He wouldn't accept the results. He kept trying to contest the results. And you know, I won. I mean, everyone on YouTube said I won. The room clapped harder for me when I won. If you go back and watch the tape, overwhelming applause for my pumpkin yesterday, and Greg just, he couldn't take a loss as an answer.
Dan, have you seen the pumpkins yet? Do you know which pumpkin belongs to whom? Can you blindly decide which one you like better, and you'll be the final say here? Or do you know whose pumpkin is whose? Whom's? Whom's is?
Vosotros.
Oods.
Oh, wow, those are two very different pumpkins.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Greg tried to do something. He brought in a prop, which, I mean he
what
was
is happening right now.
He was complaining.
I mean, it's obvious.
The jury.
Yeah, she just said a prop, right?
I mean, I think Dan already saw social media posts.
I don't know who won here. I don't know what happened.
It should be the one on the right, my right.
Is the winner?
Yeah.
Okay, but this is not a visual thing
which
that we're doing
right,
with much
left,
of the audience.
Right.
Okay.
You're
the,
left.
The prop, she said the prop, so Cody's. He brought in a prop, she said. Oh, you didn't even do that. You didn't even factor that in. Oh, you see here, Jessica.
Oh, there's some details there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, but look at this one. It's crying seeds.
This is a good contest. This is a good pumpkin contest.
An excellent job by both of you.
Both of them are very creative. Both of them are very well done.
With smaller pumpkins, by the way, than they were anticipating.
Very small pumpkins, yeah. My design was going to be much more detailed.
But Jessica, yours looks better from afar than it does close up because you could see the detail in it from afar.
Thank you.
It's but I can't pick between those
two.
I like both of them.
They haven't had the candle test yet, I don't think, either.
Oh, yeah, the candles in there.
Are there? Yeah. Are they lit?
They are lit, Billy. We have candles in the pumpkins.
Right now they're lit? That's dangerous.
Well, so Greg...
Open hazard. Be careful. Be careful in there.
Greg was complaining about, you can't do a stencil. It has to be freehand or you're cheating, blah, blah, blah. And then he brings in a prop at the last minute as this gimmick.
These are very well done, though.
Mm.
It's just very...
I salute both of you. And
choose a winner, though.
I can't pick one, but now we know, Jessica, you really did ruin it by telling us who they are.
I thought you already knew. I mean, I feel like it's obvious. Obviously, Greg didn't do that one. It's way too detailed.
Why?
But Greg's is also good.
I mean, for Greg, yes.
I just think I think Greg's is good, and it's less busy, even though I like all of the details in Jessica's, and I'm biased because Jessica did my face.
Yeah. I mean, amazing. She got it in there on a pumpkin.
We don't know that Greg didn't do your face also, though.
That is a good point.
Jess, this is really good. I mean...
Thank you.
I think Jess wins.
Yeah!
Before you
said... Well, I already won, but yes! Yeah,
I said that, but I didn't see the details in this one. I couldn't see it. I just saw a knife in the other one.
Santa Claus! Santa Claus! Santa Claus!
Dan Ugla. That's how old. Fake Cody was he was purposely terrible, and this enraged Greg Cody.
Dan Ugla. Dan Ugla.
And still does.
And still does. To Panama by Van Halen. I also believe that Cody hated that Fake Cody would use actual music. I think that was one of the things.
He viewed it as an unfair advantage.
It's funny, though, that Greg Cody would use props and he would object to props. And he is such a fraud. Greg Cody, you saw him. He was upset around Fake Cody.
I didn't notice. I don't remember much from that night. I mean.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vandercoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call. Click Grainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.